Hallelujah. Come on, let's begin to magnify the name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin to praise and glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise your name, we praise your name.
There is freedom to dance in your heaven, freedom to walk.
Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, the instruments can praise him. The singers can praise him. Why don't you lift your voice and give him glory in this place right now? Come on, he loves to hear you. Give him praise. Clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. Oh, I want to worship higher than before. Oh, I want to shout a little louder than before.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free.
I am free.
Yeah. shackles.
No more shackles. No more chains. No more bondage. I am free. Yeah.
Oh, raise your voice. Say, He set me free.
He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound. My Jesus to see. Glory.
Of Jesus and all He's done for you. No more shackles,
no more chains,
no more bondage.
I am free.
Oh, no more shackles,
no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am.
Come on, let's lift our voices and give God glory in the house. Come on, are you glad He set you free? Are you glad you've been delivered tonight? Come on, lift your voice and give Him glory, give Him praise, give Him honor. He's worthy. Oh, come on, He's worthy. Come on, praise Him. Let everything that had breath, oh, praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout it to God. Come on, we love you, Jesus. Make some noise in the house tonight. We worship you, Savior. Praise God. Remain standing if you would. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Several folks out sick tonight. Pray for the Phillip family. Pray for Laney and Rye Carnegie. Pray for Megan. Pray for Sister Jerry. If you know somebody else, if I miss somebody, blame it on my brain, not my heart. Amen. Bless the girl of the Lord in prayer right now for all these needs. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch, that you would bless, that you would help, that you would move by your Spirit. On behalf, Lord God, of every saint, every sinner, God, every child of God, every person in this city, God, we're asking you, Lord, right now to help, to bless, to heal. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, asking our ushers if they'd prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Don't forget your daily personal devotion. Please, please pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Fast as often as you can. Be a witness to our city and to your job, to your neighbors. Invite someone to the house of God. Be faithful in all areas. Praise God. Do we have anybody running the deal up here? Praise God. We got announcements. Praise God. Northwest Apostolic Men's Conference. Finally, right in the middle of all, we got nothing else going on. So we're going to throw a men's conference in the mix of it. You know what that means to me? 2 days of not working at the church. And I'm not happy about it. But it'll be a good time. Brother Miles Young, Brother Jeremy Wilbanks, Brother Daniel McDonald. Looking forward to that, asking all of our men to make plans to attend. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning, so we should be able to be there and be faithful to it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now to bless the gift and the giver. God will give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things.
Through you, blind eyes are open.
Come on, if you believe it tonight, lift your voice. Come on, if you believe it tonight, if you want it tonight. Oh, we magnify your blessed name, Jesus. Come on, can we just really praise him tonight? Come on, unimpeded. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, I feel like something's happening right now. Come on, I feel like something's happening right now. We worship you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Praise God. Have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 17. Brother Connor and Brother Lloyd can be sat down. We'll keep the other guy there for just a little while. One of these days we're going to have a Hammond B3 and I'm going to sound a whole lot better when I'm giving him my opening scriptures. Almost anybody sounds good when there's a Hammond B3 organ playing behind them. But for now, we'll settle for Carson and a Yamaha. Praise God. I want to say on the outset of this message, I fall extremely short of what I'm about to teach tonight. But we're trying to get there. Nobody can say amen yet because you don't know what I'm preaching. But I wrote this down the middle of last month. I wrote three things down on that first day of meetings. One of the first thing I wrote down was, my praise waiteth for thee, O God. I want to have a praise in hand. I want to have a praise at the ready. I want to have a thank you in my arsenal. The other thing I wrote down that Brother Urshan said, and I used it again tonight, if I forget something, blame it on my brain, not my heart. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I'm not thinking about it. I just, you know, I got a brain. Sometimes it doesn't always work. The last thing I wrote down that night was this, a culture of excellence in business, in education, in growth, and in life. It's been weighing on my mind ever since. And so tonight, I'm giving you my title on the outset, A Culture of Excellence. A Culture of Excellence. Proverbs 17:27 for an opening text. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Everybody say an excellent spirit. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I want us to pray tonight. I want us to pray that whatever would come against our church, that we could have the right spirit to conquer it. I want us to pray that it's not going to be church as usual. We're not going to take this casually. We cannot in 2026 afford to make church casual. We can't afford to waste one service, one moment, one opportunity. If I only got two services a week, I want to come in with the best I got, with purpose, with intent. Come on, somebody, lift your voice right now. Lift your heart. God, I need it. I want it. God. God, if we're going to make it happen, it's got to be up to a purposed mind. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. I've got to do it. I've got to have it. Come on, right one more time. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Oh, come on. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Come on, can we magnify the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit? Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. As you know and probably have heard, at least from my mentioning it, Brother Caleb Adams has a podcast called A Culture of Life. I really truly believe that every saint in this church needs to go back and listen again, if you haven't already, to the first two or three episodes of what it really means to have a culture of life. I don't want death to be the byproduct of our church. I don't want sorrow to be the byproduct of our church. I'm not saying that we won't have sorrow. I'm not saying that we won't have troubles. But if we have a culture of life, death has no sting. Trouble has no sting. See, culture of excellence or a culture of life is not just a slogan. It's not just a phrase. It's got to become an ecosystem in which things can prosper. Not a prosperity doctrine, but life can prosper. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundant. That's not a want. That's not a need. That's not in lack. The Bible said the Lord is my shepherd. And I won't be in one. He's going to lead me where I want that kind of ecosystem. I want that kind of culture. I want that kind of life. The Bible tells us in the Messianic prophecy about Jesus in Isaiah 4 and 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. The church understands the beauty and the excellence and the comeliness of Jesus Christ. In fact, the psalmist said this, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. In verse number 9, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 36 and 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Psalm 76 and 4, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Psalm 152 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I believe when we come to church, I don't care if it's a Wednesday, a Sunday morning, or a Sunday night, we are to praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are to praise him according to his abundance. Not my abundance, his abundance. Not my glory, but his glory. Not my feeling, but his feeling. Not who I am, but who he is. Come on, praise him tonight according to his excellent greatness. Come on, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise God. Amen. God is good. In fact, God is great. God is excellent. Man, there was a song that we learned in the choir in Fresno many, many years ago. In fact, it was so long ago that Brother Tim Spell was the one teaching it to us. And it was simply, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The other night I was up on the roof of the church, of the new building, with all the current problems, with the present state of existence, and it was just ringing in my spirit. Oh, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know what that means? That doesn't just mean in all the earth. That means right here in Nampa, but not just right here in Nampa. That means in your home, where you live, in your circumstance, in your situation. His name is still excellent, and there's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. And that's why he's excellent. Come on, he's great and greatly to be praised. Amen. According to his excellent. What does excellent mean? It means abundance in any respect. Greatly. Greatness in number. To be increased. It comes from the word which means increase, especially in number. See, a culture of excellence does not mean decrease. A culture of excellence does not mean a falling away. A culture of excellence means there's going to be an increase. I am tired of baptizing people and losing them. I am tired of people coming to church and praying through and getting the Holy Ghost. And a few months later, they're not even around. We don't even know where they are anymore. I want a culture where people come in, get the Holy Ghost, live for God, and stay. I want a culture where there's life and that more abundant. I want a culture where the name of Jesus is lifted high above all our problems and all our circumstances. I want a culture in any respect that abundance of life is here and it's flowing. Amen. And I'm not talking tonight about increase in money. That is a byproduct of increase of people. But that's not what we're after. There's souls involved. But I will say this. I heard this today, and I tend to agree with it. If your goal in life is just to make enough money to get by, you're selfish. My goal in life is to make enough money to help other people out of abundance. It may not happen, but that's my goal. That's my dream. That's my desire. I'm going to tell you, I want to have a church that if there's a church that has a need, we can meet that need. I want God to bless us so we can bless somebody else. I want a culture of excellence. I want a mindset. I looked up the word excellent in the dictionary. Possessing outstanding qualities. Or superior merit, remarkably good. I told you at the outset, I fall way short of all of this. Extraordinary or superior. The word excellence means a fact or state of excelling. Anybody want to live in that state? Nobody. See, there's the problem. Can I just say it? I asked the question, anybody want to live in a state of excelling? And I don't know if anybody said much. I want to live in a place that God says he wants to excel. You have not because you ask not. I know, church, I've been a little bit perturbed at some times, and I've said I've lost you. You know what happens is we get so distracted by everything around us that we're not listening to the preaching. We're not listening to what's going on. We're just trying to get through the service as opposed to getting something out of the service. When I come tonight to preach a culture of excellence, I'm going to increase after every service. I'm going to get something out of every message. I'm going to get something out of every worship service. I'm going home better than when I came because I want a culture of increase. I want to live in a place of excelling. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, why you get so frustrated? Well, number one, I'm human. Number two, I'm not excellent. And number three is because sometimes you frustrate me. I got quiet. I preached the other night about joy. It was pulling teeth. I'm preaching about joy. Sister Joy is the only one that walked up to me. She said, it's a hard What was the phrase you said? It's hard to live up to that expectation. I said, well, at least you got the smile for it. I ain't got one of those. But I look around, and there's people doing everything else but listening to the preaching. And we wonder why we're falling apart. And we wonder why we're not excelling. Well, Pastor, I'm fine. Do you think you are? But we are so consumed with just getting through the service. I know some of you parents think, why do I even come? Well, I'm going to tell you why you come. Because your kids got to hear this. Your kids got to feel it. They got to learn how to deal with it. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get off on all that tonight because I don't want to lose. But I will get off on it one night because it needs to be dealt with. And I love them all, but they're out of control. Well, it's quiet. The only one that made any noise was the one that half the kids aren't here. Well, it got real quiet now. It's all right. I'm not nervous. The fact or state of excelling, superiority, or eminence, the excellent quality or feature. The Bible said that Daniel was a man of excellent spirit. The writing on the wall, the infamous writing on the wall, nobody could give an answer. But there was an old prophet. There was a retired guy that the queen said, I know. She didn't call him Belteshazzar. She called him Daniel. She said, there was a man in this kingdom of an excellent spirit. Brought him to the king. The king said, I've heard about you and your excellent wisdom. You know what it ought to be talked about on the job? Who do we have to put on this? Who do we have to lead this? Who do we have in the company that can get us through this problem? And our names should be the ones. Our names should be the ones that rise to the top. It's not, we may have been forgotten all about, but when there's a need, they know where to call. They know the person. I've even heard of thee and the spirit that's on thee and the light and the understanding and the excellent wisdom. So Daniel came. Daniel was brought before the king, and the Bible said he put him above all. It pleased King Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes who should be over the whole kingdom, over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. The princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel distinguished himself from the rest of the leaders, of the rest of the co-workers, the rest of the students. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. Back to our opening text. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Ecclesiastes 9:17, the words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of them that ruleth among fools. I want my words to be heeded. I want my words to be listened to. I want my words to have weight. I want my words to mean something. James even asked, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, meaning good behavior, good actions, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if he hath bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. Could I just tell you tonight, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can have knowledge without wisdom. You can have understanding without wisdom. There's a lot of people who can spew a lot of information about knowledge. They have, but they have no wisdom to read a room. They have no wisdom to conduct their life. They have no wisdom to take that knowledge and excel. They have knowledge, but no wisdom. You can have knowledge of a topic or understanding of a subject and lack the wisdom to articulate the message. I don't care how much scripture you know. If you're not articulating the message in your life, it's just knowledge. I don't care how much understanding you have of something. If you're not living the life and proving the wisdom. Proverbs says this in 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that with his souls is wise. There's going to be fruit from our righteousness. There's going to be increase. There's going to be excel in our righteousness. And he that with his souls is wise. What does that mean? Wise in intellect. It means skillful, artful, and tactful. I want to be skillful. I want to be artful. And I want to be tactful. So, Pastor, you're not very tactful at times. There are times that a pastor has to say what needs to be said without fear or favor. But I'm not doing it because I hate. I'm not doing it because it's not right. I'm doing it because it is. And it does need to be said. Don't ever limit what the pastor can say or preach. That's not wisdom. And my pastor used to say it this way. I'm going to give a word to the wise. You know what that means? If you hear it, you're wise. If you don't, that's what the lesson was. If you take heed to what was being said, you're going to be wise. Instruct the wise man, and he will be wiser. Instruct the fool, and he'll despise you. The Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 49:1, that Jacob called all his sons, said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art the firstborn. My might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. And I thought, that didn't sound like the Reuben I know. So I looked it up a little further. And although the excellency of dignity sounds good, and the excellency of power sounds good, the translation was this. He had so much excess that he became prideful. He excelled and lifted himself up. What he was saying was, you've got so much because of who you are, you became prideful. You have so much in you because of your position that you became prideful. And you took that a little further and you used that power. You did self-elevation. But through that, you used that power for immorality. You had excess of greediness, excess of harshness, excess of might. And you can read for yourself what he went and did with all that power. Bible tells us that Jacob told him, you're unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. You're the firstborn. You're my might. You're my strength. You're my inheritance. You're my heritage. But you're so unstable. Reuben because of Reuben's instability, his birthright was divided. Reuben paid a high price for his instability. As much as anything, God looks for stable character in those who will lead his people. You should not excel. You shall not excel. And the tribe of Reuben never did excel. No prophets, no judges, no kings that we know of came from the tribe of Reuben, and they should have come from him. He was the one with the opportunity. He was the one with the birthright, but because he could not be depended upon, because he was unstable. Jacob, his father, told him, "You will never excel." So a man may have great opportunities and yet lose them. Uncontrolled passions may make him very little who otherwise might have been great. I'm tired of hearing about potential. Church, can I just bring it down to us tonight? Can I just be real? I'm tired of hearing about our potential. I'm tired of hearing about what we should be, what we should have been, what was supposed to happen years ago. It was 6 years ago now, almost. Well, it was 6 years ago, more than. That Brother Nathan Morton said that he felt the spirit of this area felt fear for the first time in decades. I wonder if he's still fearful tonight. I wonder if he's still afraid of what we can be. Because if we never realize our potential, what good was the potential to have in the first place? If we never attain our birthright, I don't want to be like Jacob. I don't want to be like Esau. Forgive me. I don't want to be like Esau, who will sell it off for comfort, who will sell it off for ease, who will sell it. That's not excellence. That's not excellency. That's not excelling. That's being weak. That's being an unstable man in time of trouble. I want a spirit on me that says, you know what? I want to covet earnestly the best gifts, because that's a more excellent way. I want a warm spirit on me. I want a warm desire on me that covets earnestly the best gifts, and I'll show unto you a more excellent way. Pastor, we can't be excellent. We're a smaller congregation going through some rough times. We can seek excellence. The Bible says that if we seek excellence to edify the church, in 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I want to grow. I want to increase. I want to build up the church. I want to give our kids a Christian school to go to. I want to give our young adults people to meet and places to go. I want to give our young families something they can hook on to. I want to excel in education. I don't want just to go... I don't want to just go through homeschool and finish some packets and call it good. I want our kids to get a good education, an accredited education. I want them, if they want to go on into higher and greater things. I want a spirit, a culture of excellence. Great churches are committed to spiritual excellence. A culture of excellence in a church, in work, in life, in business, in education. Now, I don't know what everybody's circumstance is tonight with your schooling. I don't know where everybody's going to school. I'm not keeping track on all of that, but I do know this. I was talking to somebody the other day about a Christian school, and I could tell they were a little bit leery about what that meant for their child. And I thought, I know what you've seen. You've seen a fly-by-night slap together. If you go to school, great. If you don't, great. I rebuke that spirit. That's not right. Our kids need education. And if at all possible, an accredited education. They need to be able to go on to further education. I'm not saying they got to go to college, but if they want to, they should be able to go to college. And they got to go to the right college. They got to go and make sure they're we don't want unstable kids going to college and being converted to liberals. Dyeing their hair pink. But we want a spirit, a culture that creates a desire to excel. This is not something that I'm just, well, I got my kids are in their 20s. No, I got grandkids in this thing. I almost said in this mess. I got grandkids that are part of this. I want them to have an education. I want them to have a culture. It was important to my wife and I. But I'm going to tell you, I came from a place where there was a Christian school and there were uniforms. And we have engineers and we have lawyers and we have doctors. And we have people with degrees that came out of that Christian school. That's the culture I was raised in. That's the culture I grew up in. And that's the culture I want for this congregation. I want our kids to have an education. I want our kids to be able to articulate the wisdom of the Word of God. I want our kids to go on to be bigger and better than their parents were. That's what a culture of excellence does. I want you to be better than the pastor. I want you to be better than the parent. God. Amen. I'm trying to teach, but it's on me tonight. I don't want this whatever spirit in our church. We need, and we're doing it. We're going to do it. We're trying to. We're trying to get there. I feel like this is probably the hardest part of my life I've ever been through. Trying to keep something together while you're moving it forward. It's like herding cats. Can we just get there? Can we just stick together? Because there are folks who have thrown in the towel during the process who will one day drive by and say, I wish I was a part of it. We got to keep that door open. We got to create an atmosphere. We got to create such a culture that people who left say, can I come back? We got to create such an atmosphere that the people who thought, why even hang around, will say, you know what? I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to swallow my ego. And I'm going there because that's where it's happening. That's where God is moving. That's where God is doing a work. I want a Christian school. I know I said already tonight, I want a Christian school. What we're building right now, you think is a church. No, this is a temporary location that will one day become a Christian school. We're going to take the steeple off and put a bell on it because that's where our kids are going to go to school. The next building is a gym and a cafeteria for them to play in and have lunch in because we're going to build a bigger app. I'm going to tell you, it's a culture. If we can catch a hold of the culture of excellence, all these things are attainable. All these things are within our grasp. I want higher education. Now I'm throwing this out. I'm putting myself on a limb tonight. Brother Jeremy Wilbanks he's in charge of some programs at Wilson University. I've talked to him about this already. Man, I know I did 20% towards my degree in 2018 while holding the full-time job and pastoring. I went through and got 20% of my degree. Everybody said, go, you should finish it out. You did 20% already. I said, it's not the 20% I'm worried about. It's the 80%. That's a bigger number. I'm educated. But he told me, he said, I'm telling you. He said, I can get you in. I can get you towards that degree. We could do it. And I said, you know, some of my best times were the hours I got to spend bettering myself. You know why some of us, we don't want to excel? Because we're afraid of who we are. I'm going to get to all that. We're afraid of our limitations. But I'm going to tell you something. Your limitations can be pushed further than you realize. Your flesh can be pushed further than you realize. We want higher education. We need Christian counselor. We got enough counselors in this world. Everybody wants to counsel and give you their idea. We need Christian, apostolic-based counseling. We need this. This is the way we've done it. We're just going to hope the Holy Ghost moves on Sunday night. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost without commitment and discipline from us the rest of the week, a breakthrough without change is just shouting. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't care if you shout on Sunday night if you go back to your depression on Monday. The devil doesn't care if you shout on Sunday night if you go back to your smokes and your nicotine and your fix on Monday. We need a culture where people can get help through all. I'm not negating the Holy Ghost. We're going to get to that. But we need this. I want to tell somebody this tonight. I heard this. Now, this is real country, okay? This is real cowboy. But this is the way we need to hear it tonight. Water your own grass. Well, their house and their yard looks better than mine. I got weed. Well, go out and pull your weeds. Water your own grass. Steward your own blessings. Feed your own stock. Iron your own shirt. No matter how much you do or don't have, if you're going to excel at it, you got to watch what comes next. You got to go do what you have to do. Well, things aren't working out. Go out and mow your yard then. Things aren't going the way I want them to. Pull some weeds. Things aren't happening the way I want them to happen. Iron a shirt. Do something productive. Steward a blessing. I want this thing to grow. Then do something about it. If you only do what everyone else does, you'll only have what they have. But if you do what they won't do, you'll get what they will never have. You got to do more. You know what? Praying more breaks hope, breaks walls down. Singing more, reading more breaks down walls, breaks down barriers. Set goals and dream so high that they demand an entirely different version of you. What I was 5 years ago, Sister Joy, will not be good enough in 5 years. Because it's not good enough right now. That's not just me, that's everyone here. If I'm the same person I was 5 years ago, if I'm fighting the same struggles I was 5 years ago, I'm doing something wrong. The Holy Ghost gives me power to overcome, but somehow I'm not doing what I should be doing. If you do what everyone else does, you'll only get what they have. To excel, you must demand more of your flesh than it may be willing to give. Praying demands more sacrifice. Reading your Bible demands more time. Doing more Bible studies. I thank God for these ladies trying to get this lady's mom's Bible study going back up. Be a part of that. Get involved in that. When it gets too big, divide it up and have two of them going on. We want a place where, hey, there's going to be a day, church, I hope to shout there's a day when the fellowship hall we have right now is not big enough, when the sanctuary that has 160 seats is not big enough, and we're going to have men's break up in different men's groups and different ladies' groups because we've grown so much. We can't all do it at the same time. Go out to the same restaurant. Eat the same meal. I'm talking about a culture of excellence. Doing more personal outreach, fasting more, all demands time from the norm. If our hobbies and our things cut into our growth in God, cut those out. If our hobbies become a way of life, cut them out. If our hobbies become our identity, cut it out. I want a culture of life. I want a culture of excellence. I want a culture that breeds revival. I want a culture that brings growth. I want a culture when people talk to me, they see Jesus before they see anything else. I want a culture that when they talk to me, they feel the Holy Ghost moving in my spirit before they see anything else. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Did Cain not bring a sacrifice? Absolutely. But he brought a sacrifice, hear me now, on his terms. He brought a sacrifice. Well, Pastor, I'm sacrificing on your terms. Pastor, I'm doing this on your terms. God said this was the sacrifice. And that's what Abel brought. And God called it a more excellent sacrifice. What does that mean? More in quality, more in quantity, more in number. The major portion. I'm afraid, church, that we as apostolics have learned how to give the minimum portion to God. What does the Lord require of me? Now, I don't go through McDonald's very often. I know it looks like I do, but I don't. I'm a fast food snob. If it ain't Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out, I probably don't go through it. But the other day, Chick-fil-A, on Sunday morning, it wasn't open. And I wanted something. So every time I go through, because Rhett spent all that time in NICU and Connor and Selena spent all that time in the Ronald McDonald House, I round up for the Ronald McDonald House. It's always just a round up. It might be 15 cents, might be 25 cents, whatever. The other day I went through and they said, you want to give a dollar to the Ronald McDonald House? I said, man, now they're asking for a dollar. Where have I been? And I pulled up and the lady said, can I have a name for the card? I guess they're doing a promotion. They're going to write your name on it. I said, well, okay. She said, can I have a name? I thought it was Chick-fil-A. You're asking a name for the order. What's a good name for the order? And then she just put it on the card. And I thought, well, there you go. Increase, 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 growth. Asking for more. There's got to be something in us that makes a sacrifice on God's terms. Why do I do that? I don't even go through McDonald's very often, but when I do, I remember what they went through. And 15 cents, 20 cents, an extra roundup. You say, I don't do that stuff. That's fine, but maybe you never had somebody stay there. Maybe you don't know. It's that minimum. I preached a message, I think, since we've been here, casting off the spirit of minimum. What's the minimum I can do and still be saved? What's the minimum I can do and not get in trouble? But a culture of excellence is, what do you need me to do? Yeah. I got a major portion. I want to be a part. What is it? Where do you need me? What can I help with? Because this is the deal. The sacrifice, the major portion, above and more, above and exceeding, above and further. The more excellent sacrifice was the major portion, but here's the sacrifice. Brother Caleb, it's not just money. I wish we all had enough money just to throw it at the parking lot. Don't throw it at the parking lot. The wind's blowing. It might just blow up. Give it to me. We'll lay it in the parking lot in the form of asphalt. Sometimes it's money. But most of the time, it's us. Because sacrifice is not only the act of sacrifice, but sometimes being the victim of sacrifice. And the Bible did use the word victim. Oh, my God. We don't like that word. See, I'm a victim. I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be a victim of church hurt. I don't want to be a victim of an abusive pastor. I don't want to be the victim. Sometimes I got to be the victim of a sacrifice. Can I tell you something? Jesus was the victim of Calvary. That was the plan from the start. He could not put himself on that cross. He had to have somebody else do it for him. But that was the plan. You know what my plan is, God? If you can use anything, use me. If you can do anything, use me. If I can be a blessing, use me. I want the culture. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 3:7, for what things were gained to me, I count them loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. A culture of excellence requires your attention. It requires your attendance. And it requires your action. We have to do it out of discipline until it becomes a habit. I told Paulina this the other day. I said, she said, I'm trying to get better. I said, I understand that, but you can't do it. You can only do it out of discipline so long. You can only force yourself to do things so long. You gotta make them become a habit. You gotta make them become a way of life. It's gotta become part of you. There are things that some of us would never struggle with on holiness because they're just a part of life. We don't do it out of discipline anymore. We do it out of habit. We do it out of habits of righteousness. Some folks miss church out of habit. Some folks miss church events out of habit. It's become part of their life. It's not a temporary moment in life where they got something going on. It's become part of, and that's just the way it is. Well, guess what? We can make attendance to church just the way it is. I heard this preached all my life. If your kids ask, are we going to church tonight? There's something wrong in your family. There's something wrong in your home. Can I tell you that applies to all of us? I want to make sure that if I want a culture of excellence, it requires my attention, my attendance, and my action. We cannot sustain what we don't make a habit of righteousness. Here's what a culture of excellence actually is. Shared expectations. A mindset. Not just a moment. Not just a shout, but a mindset. It isn't an event, it's a habit. It's a standard, not a style. Excellence looks different. Well, excellence looks, I've been to churches that have a spirit of that. I'm going to tell you, I've been to Summit in Spokane multiple times. I'm going back this year, so the Lord tarry. There's a culture of excellence in that church. Not just the pastor and pastor's wife, but the people. I've never been served a meal by Sister Mayo or Brother Mayo. I've been fed by them. I've been blessed by them. I've been all of that at restaurants, but the people. Man, if you almost act like I've never asked for anything special, but if they think you want something that you don't, they're gonna. Is it possible? Is it? Can I just have a cup of ice? Man, I'm going to tell you, they're going to go across the street if they have to. And they're going to bring you a cup of ice. Why? There's a culture of excellence. It permeates in the church. You can feel it in the ecosystem. You can feel it in the atmosphere. You can feel it when you walk in. You can feel it in the prayer room. You can feel it in the services. That's what I want. That's what I want here. That's what we're attending for here. And there are times when we've touched it. And there are moments when we've reached it. But I want it to be something that's part of our life. It's stewardship issue. We honor God by stewarding people, spaces, and assignments well. Why is it taking so long on this building? Because something done right. Something built to last. Something built after hours. Something requiring sacrifice. That's beyond measure. There's the DNA of a culture of excellency. Clarity. People cannot hit a target they cannot see. Excellence grows where expectations are clear, measurable, and modeled. Why are we changing our name to Cornerstone Pentecostal Church? I just told you. That's our goal. That's our goal. If we can do it in Spokane, we can do it in Nampa. If we can do it in Spokane, we can do it in the Treasure Valley. If we can do it in Spokane Valley, we can do it here. Well, why don't you call it Truth Tabernacle? Because my pastor's not there anymore. And that's the Northwest. And this is the vision that happens up here. And it's different in the South. It's different in California. The spirit of the Northwest is different. And there's a man that has proved you can do it. And so there's the goal. There's it's measurable. But let me tell you, it's not just measurable. It's not just seen. It's attainable. unattainable. We can be what God called us to be. Ownership. Ownership. Excellence is not top down. Excellence is everyone all in, doing their part to make this happen. I shouldn't have. Pastor, I don't like when you get up there and say, come on, let's worship God. I shouldn't have to. He's your God too. He's your God too. He's excellent in your life too. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I'm fighting a whole lot more devils than you are, because I'm fighting mine and yours. And there's sometimes I don't feel like praising God, but I do anyhow, because you know what? He's good anyhow. It's hallelujah anyhow. It's ownership. The other aspect of this is consistency. Consistency, not perfection. Consistency. Excellence is doing the right thing the right way all the time. Consistency. And the last is spiritual empowerment. This is where we understand the Holy Ghost doesn't just help us do things well. He makes us capable of doing things we couldn't do before. I'm not a reader. I'm not a writer. I'm not an orator. I'm not a scholar. I understand that. That's one of those weaknesses that I have of what I'm not and what this church may need that I can't be. But the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes us capable of doing things that we couldn't do before. I told my wife this the other night. I've told the church this before. If we're able to make all the bills and pay the $800,000 loan that we're probably going to have on this property out of our own pocket, we wouldn't need God. But because we can only afford about half of that, we need God to step in and make us capable of doing something that we could not do before Him or without Him. Remember, no matter how good we get, the Bible still said, without Him, we can do nothing. Yeah. And I'm coming to a close. It may be a little bit longer close, but I'm coming to it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just plain ordinary people. But God uses plain ordinary people. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that makes us excellent. Excellence is not a personality trait. Excellence is not perfectionism. Excellence is not a talent. Excellence is the evidence of the Holy Ghost working in each one of us. What I was, I'm not anymore. But what I am, God has made me. What I was, that's what I was. But that's not who I am. That's what I was, but now God. You were sinners. You were lost. You were outcast. But now, you are washed, you are clean, you are sanctified. Come on. There's the creative work of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that said, let there be light, is the same Spirit that lives inside of us. The same Spirit that formed the heaven and the earth and said it's very good lives inside of you and I. And that same creative God gives us the ability to overcome our faults and our failures. The Holy Ghost does not just improve us. He expands us. Excellence is the natural fruit of a supernatural relationship with God. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. Trees produce. The fruit produces. One seed went in. Multiple. Not just once, but he bears fruit in his season, that his fruit may remain. It's a culture. that just keeps on growing, keeps on giving, keeps on. Fishermen become apostles. Tax collectors become preachers. Doubters and murderers become leaders. The Holy Ghost did not just save them. He shaped them. The culture of excellence is not how you came in. It's how you go out. It's what you get from this point out there. Excellence is not my achievement. It's His anointing working in me. Daniel's excellence was not in him alone. It was in God working through him. He said, the light and understanding that's in you is from the gods. He didn't know who God was, but he knew that wasn't natural. Excellence is not about impressing people. I want our church to be clean, tidy, run right, decent in order. I want to look good, smell good, feel good. I want people to pull up and say, this is a safe place. Not so we can impress people, but so that we can express God. I want to be the image of an invisible God that put His Spirit in me. I want our church to permeate the culture of a God who says, I can give you more than what you have. I can bless your life. I can bless your home. I can be a miracle worker in your life. What you have, there's more to it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I know I told you I was going to teach. And I really try to just teach through this tonight. But I want there to be a celebration of excellence. We had a couple that came Sunday night. Never been to our church before. The only thing they knew is that my wife and I, many, many weeks ago, many months ago, I don't even know how long ago it was, really. I had to look it up on my phone. Had to go to a hospital and suit up, put the mask on, put the stuff on, put the shield on. Talk about praying for somebody, being intimidated. You wear all that stuff to go meet somebody you don't even know. A pastor in Southern California said, hey, I got a lady in my church whose sister is in a hospital in Boise. Can you go pray for her? Can I just tell you, that is my least favorite thing to have to go do, is go meet people I don't know. But we walked in there. And here she was, cancer riddled her body. I thought, all the things that I'm facing, all my struggles, I want her to feel God. I want her to feel God. I want her to see Jesus in us. And we prayed for her. And we visited with him. And that was the last time we went. That was the one and only time we went. We texted a couple times. How you doing? And Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, I forget when it was. Hey, when's your services? We're going to be in town. We want to come by. And so they did. And they stuck around. They were some of the last people to leave. Sunday night. As they walked out, they said, we will be back. We will be back. Church, can I just be honest? We weren't at our best that night. We had all kinds of things going on, and we didn't even have everybody here. But they felt something. Church, if we could just focus on what that is, and we know what that is. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God working in this house. That's His presence. God, every time we come in, let us cultivate that experience. Let us cultivate that move. Let us exalt your name together. Come on, that should have got some kind of response. Come on, let us exalt His name together. I'm going to tell you something, church. If you're waiting for me to build all this up and push it every service, I'm wore out. I'm tired. Somewhere, someone's got to step up. Say, I want to be part of that culture. Someone's got to step up and say, Pastor, if you're needing somebody to, Lord, what were you talking about the other night? You're holding up that piece of plywood and I was messing with you. You're saying, hey, they were holding up Moses' arm, not messing with him. I said, yeah, I'm just letting you know what I feel like sometimes. Long as I'm doing good, we're in the battle. But everybody keeps messing with me. I want to be part of that culture. I still can't get it. You see, you think these are just little pokes. No, that's just word to the wise. That's just word to those that are hungry. That's just word to those that are listening. That's just word to those that are like, hey, I pick up what you're putting down. I can feel what you're doing. I know what you're trying to get out of this. Come on, anybody feel that way tonight? Anybody? Can anybody push your flesh a little bit tonight? Can anybody get past what you're thinking in your spirit? Come on, we're not talented enough. We're not pretty enough. I don't have excellence of speech. I'm not scholarly enough. I'm not read enough. I'm not. We need a church body to take ownership of a move of God in this house. The book of Acts chapter 2 still says they were in one accord in one place. That literally means one mind, one goal. Come on, anybody want to go further in God than you are? Anybody want to go deeper in the things of God than you've been? Anybody want to see revival you've never seen before? Come on, if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll have what we've always had. But if somehow we can get a hold of a culture of excellence, your flesh can do more if we'll just mortify the deeds of our body. We can do more for God if we'll just put Him first. Come on, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We should not have to be coaxed. We should not have to be pushed. We should not. God saved me just like He saved you, and God saved you just like He did me. It's in the mindset we bring to church. It's in the desire that we bring to the house of God. There's the goal. To be like Jesus, that's the goal. To have revival, that's the goal. No. love you today, Savior. God, I love you today, Jesus. God, I love you today, Jesus. Yeah, la 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 la, Bosoko. Come on, come on, come on. I want to go where God wants me to be. I want to be where God wants me to be. God, I love you today, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. This is the toughest time for any church to be in a building program. So I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, believe it or don't, I know my experiences. I know what I see. I know what I feel. I know what I've heard. But on the other side of it is going to be a great revival. How could you say that? Because that's the only answer to the problem. That's the only answer to the, that's the only solution to the situation, is that God is either in this or he's not. He's either in control of it or he's not. And if he's in control of it, he's going to do what needs to be done. But I want to be ready for that revival. I want to have put forth the effort to get me as the pastor. I'm not talking about you tonight. I'm trying to get me to that place. I hope, God, I've heard this preached before, and I hope, in fact, Brother Miles Young preached at a men's conference at Brother Townley's. He said, if your capacity is only to pastor 50 or 60 people, that's all you're going to pastor. No matter how big it gets, it will always fall down to that. I said, God, is it on me? Is it on me? What else can I do? But here's the deal. I was in a church that was a lot bigger than that, and I know. I never saw in the 27 years I was there. I'm not saying he didn't, but I never saw Brother Morton teach the Bible studies and do all the discipleship classes and go to everybody's house and do it. He didn't, because there was a church that took ownership and made it happen. Until we get there, we are only limited to what I can do and what a handful of people can do. We have to get to that place. That's the culture of excellence. That's the culture of life. Men who have understanding, who have wisdom, who can teach and help and grow and do. Not vying for position, but wherever you need me, plug me in. And I know I said some stuff tonight, and people think, well, he's don't like the kids. Can I just tell you? You can love kids and be frustrated with them at the same time. They're not exclusive one to the other. Because I love my grandkids, and we had all four of them today. And there were moments I thought, how can you go from me loving you so much to wanting to send you with a little yellow, little red sack and a stick and say, hit the road, Jack. And then the next moment, oh, so sweet. You can have both. I love all of our families. I love it all. I want it all. But that cannot be the controlling factor in our church services. Is that okay? Is that all right for a pastor to say? We gotta be able to have church. And so all of this is part of that culture. How do we get there? If I had that answer, I'd have said it first tonight. All I know is what I felt in prayer tonight. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. The only way I know to get there is to apply what I know according to his word and watch it unfold. And so that's what we're doing tonight. Can we one more time lift our hands and our hearts and our voices to heaven? Savior, we love you. We praise you. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every saint of God. I thank you for every individual that's a part of this family. God, bless us. God, give us a heart for your work. Give us a heart, God, of sacrifice to make this thing happen. God, if you don't do it, if you don't empower us, it can't be done. But God, we want them to see you in us. We want them to feel your presence in this house. We want them to see Jesus every time they come in and feel your spirit moving in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Everybody be where you're supposed to be this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, men working, people working, doing whatever they're doing. Be back Saturday night for church. Just be faithful. Invite somebody to the house of God. Amen. Fill this house up in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.